AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. suspending his presidential campaign and at a Trump rally Friday evening, endorsing the former president. So the question now, where will his supporters go? ABC News White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks.
A little bit of split messaging overnight from Democrats. The party saying basically good riddance. He always had the backing of Trump donors. They said that this was inevitable because that's where sort of his support had been. But you saw the Harris team really make a direct appeal to his voters, saying for those who want to turn the page on Trump, there's a place in her campaign for them.
One person detained but not charged after a deadly knife attack at a festival in Solingen, Germany, that left at least three people killed, five others seriously injured. Authorities investigating a motive. Officials in Italy launching a manslaughter investigation into the sinking of a luxury yacht that left seven people, including British tech tycoon, dead off the coast of Sicily. This is ABC News. New details on the sinking of a luxury yacht off the Italian coast one day after the body of the last victim was recovered.
Italian officials announcing they are launching a manslaughter investigation after seven people were killed when that luxury superyacht sank off the coast of Sicily, including two Americans, lawyer Chris Morvillo and his wife Netta. Prosecutors now saying negligence and behaviors that were not perfectly in order may be to blame here, though they are not investigating any one individual.
ABC's Innes de la Catera. New fallout from the assassination attempt on former President Trump last month. The Secret Service putting several agents on administrative duty. ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Sources telling ABC News those agents were involved in the planning of the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. They are now no longer allowed to work on protection of any candidates.
The move coming nearly 6 weeks after the killing of one man, wounding of three others, including the former president. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Gordy here from the Mad Radio Morning Show. When you text us at Civic Media, our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial in Madison, chosen by 80% of Fortune 500 manufacturers in the United States that want to package with less. RocketIndustrial.com.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WMDX website at mad.radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Libraries are pushing back against the proposals in Project 2025, the so-called wish list for the next Republican president. Mark Moran reports.
The latest report from the Every Library Institute says the Republican Party's agenda, as outlined in the document known as Project 2025, takes aim at places where students can read, discover, and explore. Conservatives call it a matter of accountability. In Iowa, there are at least 540 public libraries, fourth highest in the nation. More than 400 are among the scant cultural resources in towns with populations of less than 2,500. Peter Bromberg with the Institute says Project 2025, a massive effort to reclassify civil service workers as political appointees, would take direct aim at libraries and the people who work there.
You know, librarians and teachers are highly trusted and well-known and well-loved in their communities. It's really kind of a shocking and extreme attempt to twist our democratic society and our institutions into more of a totalitarian theocracy.
But backers of Project 2025 say librarians need to be held accountable for what's on their shelves. Bromberg says Project 2025 promotes book bans, restricts LGBTQ content, and undermines the intellectual freedom and inclusivity that libraries are known for. He believes that would ultimately threaten students' educational quality and could presage the end of libraries serving as open and inclusive spaces for people who want to learn. This is Mark Moran for Iowa News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms and a low around 68. Partly sunny, 86 for Sunday. Clear and 69 Sunday night, warmer for Monday, highs in the low 90s. Chance of storms on Monday night.
It's 73 at our studios.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
Okay, Lou, we got to let this play. Just keep letting it play. You're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host,
April Kigaya.
We are doing a black job. Black jobs. You hear that, Trump? The president of the United States is actually a black job. Amen. You can cut. We are so happy to be here this morning. April, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed. I missed you guys last week. I'm sorry you guys had to listen to a rerun of my beautiful voice. And I think it was April, too, on the show. I wasn't sure, but I think it was. So you heard us. Yeah, I think so. Twice. Yeah. So we're going to start off today always about talking about love. But before I do that, I just got to check in with April and check in with y'all and let y'all know what I've experienced over the last week. So we're just going to start with my personal testimonies here.
Yeah.
But before we go into that, April, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
You got anything good to tell us? Any juicy stuff?
Girl, no
tea,
juicy
coffee?
Stuff. But I'm back in the gym. Remember last time I was here, you said you're back in the gym?
Yes,
no,
I
I'm
am.
Back in the gym.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know,
what's your goals? As Luke slapped his forehead.
I do this every time. I'm so sorry.
Luke just slapped his forehead messing with her. Girl, you was on the radio.
I'm so sorry. My goal is to...
That's your note to say.
My goal is to tone, you know, get fit.
Tone that booty.
Yeah.
That booty.
My legs, my arms, you know, just get that hourglass.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Going, you know?
I'm sure you will. Okay. Period.
That's hence why I'm wearing what I'm wearing. The folks on Facebook, that's why I look like this.
Okay. Good. Okay.
I'm going to the gym after.
You looking good, though. You looking good. Well, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show, y'all. And let me tell y'all some tea. I went to Vegas last week to hang out with my mom. Shout out to my mom, Duke, Rita Adair. She lives in Vegas with her partner, Burnell. Burnell was placed on hospice last week, so it's been a rough one. But also shout out to my mom for getting the Aces basketball team, the girls' basketball team, to come and visit Burnell at the house. She's a huge women's basketball fan. And she was, you know, a coach of women's basketball. Burnell had her own women's team out of Milwaukee. So I'm just really happy that my mom was able to make that happen. So I stayed last week with them in Vegas, and I really enjoyed being with them and enjoyed being with Burnell and just being in the sun, like walking every morning, getting up early. But besides all the positive, let me tell you the tea on the Karens.
About the trip.
Oh,
what was
my
the trip
goodness.
Like?
It was weird. And I don't know if God is trying to teach me something and expand my awareness or practicing holding space for people caringness. So we leave caringness. You know, I only fly Delta because I'm a bougie flyer. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to Delta, despite the challenges with Delta recently, but you know, we still roll with Delta. So anyway, I get on a plane. I'm in like the comfort zone area because, you know, I had a couple of
points or whatever with my American Express, I was able to upgrade to Comfort. Okay.
Not first class, but Comfort. Comfort. You were right behind first class. You're looking at the back of the head.
Seats. Like, okay, I'm almost there. But when I got on a plane, you know, sometimes, you know, I act ditzy sometimes, right? So I'm reading the letters and it's like 6B, 6A. And I'm like, okay, well, that one's mine. But actually, I sat at the window seat and it wasn't my seat. And the lady, Karen, came up and she's like, you're in my seat. You know, most of the time someone make a mistake. You're like, excuse me, that's my seat.
Right.
And she was so bothered by me. And I could just tell by her energy. And I just said, okay, my bad. And I get up.
Right.
And then I, you know, switch over, sit down. And she's just, you know, you can feel people's energy.
She's just irritated,
mad. And she's probably mad that I'm sitting next to her. And then I look over to the right and it's this guy. He's staring at me looking like a Trumpster, shaking his legs. And I'm like, God, what is you doing on this plane with me this morning? Like, I'm by myself. I just happen to be the only black person on the plane. So because of everything that's happening in the world, like, I'm really hypervigilant right now about, like, the energy and people and the space, because it's just some weird things happening. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, God, okay, let me get out of my brain about this. You got this, Brandy. You're safe. You're protected. I'm whole and complete. Now I'm over here affirming myself so I don't get anxiety about the people around me. And then all of a sudden you hear the lady on the intercom, is there Brandy Grayson on the plane? And I'm like, oh, Lord, they about to kick me off, God. Like, what is she doing right now? And she said, can you raise your hand? So I raised my hand. And she's like, dear, you've been upgraded to first class. And I'm like, yes.
Okay.
I said, that's the way the universe looked. And I said, you know what, God, you ain't too bad. You know what I'm saying? You heard my energy and moved me. So not only did Karen have to deal with me sitting next to her for 5 minutes, she had to deal with me being upgraded. So I felt some kind of, like, you know.
Redemption.
Just redemption in that moment. Like, yep, that's me, Brandy Grayson. I'm going to move to first class and get my peanuts now and my free drink.
Right, champagne.
So that was entertaining. But I just wanted to tell y'all and share that with y'all. But as always, Cousin Clyde, he is a no-show again. So, you know, that's why I told y'all we were replacing Cousin Clyde with April, because we don't know where he is. He ain't called. He ain't text. And I wasn't going to text him. You know what I mean? Because he like the kind of man or side piece you have, and you be trying not to
side piece. Text him.
Yes, I am.
Clyde, I'm trying, man. But...
I am. Ain't nobody on that. So anyway, Clyde and I had decided that we would start the show off with talking about love. So April, I'm going to give it to you. What would you like to start off with? Is there anything specific you want to discuss when it comes to love and politics and metaphysics?
Well, last time I was here, we were talking about black love. And now the DNC just ended this week. And
oh,
I want to talk about the love the blackness that we saw DNC with Oprah, with Kamala, with all the people. I loved the fact that there were a couple Republican senators and legislatures
that showed up
and spoke in support of Kamala. And they said, I am voting for her. I'm not voting for Trump. This is not about Democratic or Republican. This is about our democracy.
Amen.
I love that. I thought that was awesome.
I have to admit that I didn't watch it at all.
Yeah.
I just don't get into, like, I wanted to because it was black, and I did watch clips because Jasmine, what's her last name? The representative from Texas?
Jasmine Crockett.
Jasmine Crockett. I saw a little bit of her because I just knew she was going to snap. But I listened, but then I turned it off because I got busy. But I did see nothing but pure blackness. And this is so historical, y'all. Like, I've never seen a DNC so black. I've never seen so many black people proud to be black in this moment. I was at Foot Locker looking for my son some shoes, and there were some white people standing behind me, and the cash register person was black. And I was like, guess what, y'all? We about to have a black president and just about to be a woman. So any opportunity I get to make people uncomfortable, I do nowadays. So I don't know.
I mean, that's not new, though. That's true.
But. Okay. But anyway, back to the DNC. So I think you're right. Like, that's such a reflection of love, and then having Michelle, and then just having all these strong, powerful, beautiful people in one setting, just being all shea buttery.
Right. And glowing under the lights. And
can you translate shea buttery for our people who are listening, April? What do I mean when I say shea buttery? And Matt, just to remind you, you're listening to the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM. Go ahead,
so
April.
So I will be the white translator.
Translator for us today.
So yeah. Shea Buttery would translate to when you put on lotion.
Yes.
Do you use lotion?
I don't know.
But when your skin is not dry or flaky, it's moist.
Moist.
It's shining.
From
it's
the Shea Butter.
Shea Buttery.
You know, it's the glow that you yeah. see with me right now because you know I moisturized this morning with Shea Butter. And other
Hence,
things as well.
Shea Buttery.
Shea Buttery. So it just smelt like shea butter and wraps. I could just, I looked.
Wait, wraps?
Yeah, like
hair
wraps.
Okay, right.
Like a silk press. Like when I looked at the DMC, I said, I bet you it smells like silk press and shea buttery.
Like a hot curling iron.
Yeah, because when I look at Michelle, I just look at her and I'd be like, she looks like she just had her silk press done. She
right
smells
before she walked
like,
out there.
Right, she just smells like a silk press. And for our people who don't know what a silk press smells like, it smells a little bit like your hair burning with products, but...
It's not a great smell per se,
but it's
a familiar smell.
Yeah, it's a familiar smell.
And it's a black smell.
And it's a black smell. Like, I know exactly what you just got your hair done, didn't you, sis? Who wrapped you up
right.
in silk
press? It
don't
smell
you?
Good, but it looks good.
Yep, and it's the first time in the history of the DNC that it smelled shea buttery
Girl,
and like silk
backstage
press.
Backstage must have been like smoky, and they're like, what is going on? No, we're not smoking. We're just doing hair.
Right.
There's that's no just, weed. It's just hair
just
product.
A pressing comb and a flat iron and a steamer. You know what I mean? Because you had to go back and re-flat iron it. So, yeah. So, shout out to everyone that was able to attend the DNC. It looks really excited.
Yeah.
Nobody invites me. How do you even get
either.
On the invitation list to
well,
the DNC?
So, to be a delegate, you have to apply. So, there's like an application process. You know, I applied. So there's certain like
I want to be a delegate.
High elected officials will automatically get in.
Okay.
Like the Secretary of State, Governor, whatever. Then other people, you have to go through this process where you have to like go to these meetings and say why you want to be a delegate and blah blah blah. It's like a long process. I didn't do all that. I just put my name in there. Like no, I was like okay, well, guess not.
No effort here.
Wasn't meant to be.
They probably was looking at how much you donate too, right?
And that was zero. Yeah. So yeah, I guess that makes sense. That tracks.
Because I'm thinking like they probably, because everything's about money and politics.
But not necessarily, because if you look in the, like there are like quote unquote regular people there.
But
you
who's choosing them? Because they must be part of some regular
There's some
network.
Committee. I don't know.
Okay, we need to find out because if Kamala gets to be president, I need to be a delegate so I can get close to her. Because there's going to be other things, right?
No.
Like other campaign trails or other...
Oh, like leading up to that?
Or after. Is there like situations where the delegates get invited to hang out with the president or a situation where they come into town and they hang out? So you only get to hang out at the DNC?
I don't know.
Girl.
Well, these are the party delegates for nominating. So it essentially took like the state, how many delegates Wisconsin got for the nomination process, which I believe is like 74, 75.
Is that the same as when you vote?
Then there's delegates for the Electoral College.
Okay. Yeah, that's
and
different.
So Wisconsin has 10 of those, and that becomes even kind of more of a select group.
Okay,
so it's harder to be a delegate for the state than the party.
And it's different for each state. Each state has a different number.
How are we supposed to know this stuff?
Well,
how's the average person that's supposed to know stuff? I don't know none of this.
That's the thing. The average doesn't.
Okay.
I don't know. I was paying attention, I guess, too much. Like, there's just some dates and numbers for whatever reason from social studies science.
Sticks in your
head. It's just there.
Yeah,
like, math, I can't do calculus anymore. But the numbers from, like, social studies are all just somewhere
head.
In
Good
those
job,
grooves.
Luke.
And
That's why we like Luke.
Yep.
You know, we need Luke in moments,
Keep
and there Luke
together.
Is. Yep, thank you. Thank you, Luke. Now we know what a state delegate and a nominated. I don't even
Girl,
know.
You
the
don't
words
even know.
Anymore.
Don't even
it's
say
okay.
nope. She don't know.
It's okay. We just are proud and happy that it was so black and shea buttery. Okay, shea buttery and silk pressy. So, stay tuned, listening to the Shea Buttery crew today, doing our black jobs, feeling really black. I'm looking forward to a black president and a woman president. And when we return, we'll continue the conversation about having a black job on 92.7 FM WMDX. And this is your girl, Brandi Grayson, and.
April Kigaya.
And we'll be back with the black jobs.
Bye.
Might be one of those black jobs.
President Kamala Harris.
Might be one of those black jobs. Those black jobs. Those black jobs. One of those black jobs. Those black jobs. One of those black jobs. Those black jobs. One of those black jobs. Gonna tell them that the job might be one of those black jobs.
I'm here to do my black job.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show. Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, we are back on 92.7 FM, the WMDX. I said the WMDX. Like I was going to say the WMDX show. But my brain got a little confused. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show, right? It's all good. This is Brandi Grayson and my co-host,
April Kigaya.
We are in the house today. And just as a soft reminder, I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, okay?
Why is it soft?
Just a soft reminder. Nonprofit organization. We do awesome work, a lot of homeless work, a lot of agriculture work. And I just want to remind you that we're having our third annual Harvest Festival, and it is on our farm in Verona on September 7th from 3 to 8. Check out our Facebook page for more information, but it's going down, y'all. Complimentary. Good Lord, April.
Complimentary.
Okay, there we go. Wine, beer, food. We have the cigarette break band coming from Milwaukee. They are fantastic. We have a dude coming and he's going to be juggling with fire. So you want to see that. We have a magic show. We have spoken word. Mm-hmm. We have a live DJ. We have stilt walkers. We have airless. They'll be performing in the air and twirling around. We have the magic bubble dude. We have the tightrope thing for the kids. We have the jumpy house. We got the children's museum. We got Gigi's playhouse for kids with sensory stuff. So come through. Like, we about to kick it, and it's free, and we're celebrating agriculture, and we're celebrating Black jobs in agriculture and Black farming, as that's what Urban Triage does. We do that. We teach people how to enter agriculture, Black folks, and how to get back to the land and love on the land. And then we provide free produce to the community every Thursday. So just check us out. Come hang out with us. We're really excited. We have no sponsors for our event, so we're rocking negative.
That's
so
crazy.
It is crazy.
Any sponsors?
No sponsors. Really? It's crazy because we attract over 2,000 people. I don't know. It could be me. I'm working on me. It could just be my energy that I'm sending off to the universe. But if you're interested in having your logo on our things and would like to sponsor our event, we would really appreciate $1, $5, $10, $8, $3, $0.05, $0.04, $0.02. You know, I don't want to be
not
a beggar or anything.
We don't want the sense.
I mean, but the pennies add up too, but don't send me a penny. That would be embarrassing for you, because then I'm going to talk about you. But so don't take me literally. But anyway, back to my point.
Wait, but hold on. One second. You said free beer and wine.
Yeah.
You want to mention the shuttle?
Oh, yeah, we do have shuttle service. So we also are providing shuttle service from our Park Street location, 2312 South Park Street, to our farm in Verona, because we also want to make sure you guys get safe, get there safe. And I know some people don't like to drive out, you know, that far. And it's not far. Our farm is about 17 minutes from Park Street down Verona Road. And I don't know the address. Our farm is located at the Farley Center for Social Justice. And the Farley Center is another nonprofit organization, and they provide incubator service kind of for farmers and Black and brown farmers and small farmers. They're just amazing. Shout out to the Farleys. I rock with them really hard. They have been so instrumental in our programming and supporting us and teaching us how to farm so that we can teach others. So anyway, come out and enjoy the Harvest Fest. So that's my little two cents there. You got two cents you want to provide? Anything happening in your life you want to talk about?
So Dana Pelabon won the primary.
Black
so go
job.
Dana.
Black,
another black,
black
job that's black about job. To be had. Dane County Executive the election is the same day as the presidential election.
Yes.
So we really need folks to come out and support her financially.
Yes.
Because it's between her and Melissa Agar. Melissa has a lot of money. A
lot of money.
There, she's going to be doing TV ads. We need money so that Dana can be doing TV ads. That's like $15,000 for an ad. So I need folks who can do fundraisers for her, folks who can just donate, go to danafordane.com. She has actual executive experience. She's literally been doing the work for 30 plus years on the ground.
Yeah, and this is going to be another one of those elections where is money versus the people.
Right.
Right. So Melissa Agar, she has been around a long time, and she's a really, I don't really know much about her. Apparently she knows a lot about me, but she really enjoys hanging with the who's who's, and the who's who's enjoys her. And I mean, even black people enjoy the who's who's, because, you know, the politics in Madison is we don't support people because they're black. We support opportunity and not the blackness, which I think is kind of sad, because when you think about how brown people operate, or Southeast Asian people operate, or other people operate, they support each other. And even if they're not in 100% in agreement, they gonna make sure their people get to the position they need them in, because they understand the ripple effect, not only in their culture, but in their families and in their communities. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's happened to us as people known as black because of this, because we're the component or the element that creates white supremacy, in the sense, like, so you can't, we're the thing that is in relationship to white supremacy. And what I'm trying to say is, like, you can't have white supremacy without black people, right? So the system is set up for us to be complacent, and it impacts us differently. It has a different mental effect on our psyche. So one of the consequences of this system on black psyche is our need to seek approval through white people, white systems, and to seek proximity to white people, white systems, and opportunities. So in Madison, what you've seen is black people who hold any leadership position have put themselves next to Melissa Agar. And they've done that because for them, she's a sure win because of her money, because of her influence, because of the current county, her position, the current county exec endorsing her. So we get right behind whoever we think are going to get elected, versus being like, dang, let's do something powerful and really fundraise for this black woman, and let's really support her and rally around her and advocate for her. And I think it's a sickness. I really do. And it's not something that we're conscious of most of the time, but I think it's a sickness. What's your thoughts?
No, I agree. And in this particular situation, like you said, they're putting their name behind her because she's the quote unquote shoo-in, and because of the money, not because of the qualifications.
And
like, if you look at the qualifications, look at Melissa, what she's done in her life, and look at Dana, what she's done in her life, like, there's no question that Melissa, and I'm not saying this because Dana's my friend or because Dana's black, because both of those things are true.
Yeah.
And she is truly the person who has the most qualifications and who could do the job, hands down.
Hands down. And she's the person we know that's going to be able to balance the needs of all the constituents, right?
Right.
Not just black people, but the rural people, our folks on the outskirts of Dane County, the folks that don't get heard or seen, because Dana is very diverse. Like, she's everywhere because of her theater work, because of her community work, her outreach work, her work with sex trafficking, rape victims, her work with Hmong community. Like, she is diverse across all cultures, and her work as a queer woman, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it counts. And when you think about people who don't have the lived experience or don't know how to relate to people outside of their political frameworks or boxes, then how can you represent me at all? You know, and I hate that for us. I really hate that for Madison and Dane County, where we're not able to really get behind people who could really do what we say need to be done. Mm-hmm. And instead we say we need to support the status quo because I'm trying to get in there too, you know?
Right.
I just hate that for us. And I hate that for politics. I just hate it. So anyway, that's enough of my hate. But vote for Dana.
Dana Bone,
another black job. We're excited, y'all. I'm super excited to see all these black women everywhere.
Yes.
And I really do believe that there's this kind of shift that's occurring from the system of patriarchy. And I hope I get to live to see the shift back to matriarchy and really embracing feminine femininity, feminine energy. It's exciting, y'all. You are listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson and my girl co-host
April Kigaya.
You know, we just on the air doing the Black Job on 92.7 FM. So continue to listen because we got more to say about the politics locally. And then we still didn't even really talk about
the other topic.
The topics, but we'll get back. So come back and get some more tea because y'all love us. Okay.
I'm so deep in my bag like a grandma with a peppermint. They say, oh, she smell good. That's just because I'm heaven sent. Game goes stupid, stepping like a toothpick. Man, I tell the truth, your opinion is irrelevant, but I know you.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. suspending his presidential campaign and at a Trump rally Friday evening, endorsing the former president. So the question now, where will his supporters go? ABC News White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks.
A little bit of split messaging overnight from Democrats. The party saying basically good riddance. He always had the backing of Trump donors. They said that this was inevitable because that's where sort of his support had been. But you saw the Harris team really make a direct appeal to his voters, saying for those who want to turn the page on Trump, there's a place in her campaign for them.
One person detained but not charged after a deadly knife attack at a festival in Solingen, Germany, that left at least three people killed, five others seriously injured. Authorities investigating a motive. Officials in Italy launching a manslaughter investigation into the sinking of a luxury yacht that left seven people, including British tech tycoon, dead off the coast of Sicily. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers beat the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers at the Oakland Coliseum last night against the A's. The A's the first to score. They were up 1-0. Top of the second, Rhys Hoskins with a three-run home run, followed by Jory Ortiz with a solo shot. The Brewers on their way then to an 11-3 win. 11 runs off of 14 hits. Brewers manager Pat Murphy after the win on that explosive offense.
We were ready to hit. Hoskins, everybody kind of piled on after that. It was great. Sanchez had a big game, and Adames might not have got a bunch of hits, but his walks, Churio, Ortiz with a big hit. Yeah, the whole lineup over time did a good job throughout the game, and we kind of stayed on it. Stripling came in, was really good against us, but we kind of stayed on it. Played a complete game.
Game two of the series is tonight. Colin Ray against the A's right-hander Joe Boyle. NFL, the Packers hosting the Ravens today in their final preseason game. A recap coming up tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers' first game coming up next Friday night when they host Western Michigan. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms at a low around 68. Partly sunny, 86 for Sunday. Clear and 69 Sunday night, warmer for Monday, highs in the low 90s. Chance of storms on Monday night.
Currently, 75 degrees.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTime'sIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, Neil, you're tuned in to 92.7 FM WMDX. On the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson and
A Brookie Gaya.
We in the house. We're in the house. Okay, can we recognize this Beyonce song and how Kamala is playing it everywhere?
Did you know that Trump tried to play, or I guess he did play one of Beyonce's songs?
No, he did not.
Yep, and she was like, nope.
No.
Cutting that out.
What?
He sure did. I don't know. Luke, do you know more about that? All
what?
I know, I heard
How
a little
does a
bit.
White man try to come out on Beyonce? This is unheard. This is absurd.
One of Trump's campaign officials like created like a campaign ad, because that's what Kamala's currently using it in her ads.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It was kind of her
thing.
It's more or less her theme song at this point for the campaign. And so their political ads got permission from Beyonce to be used in the ads.
Yeah.
And so then Trump's campaign officials created like their own, and they use AI for a lot of this stuff too. And so I think it was kind of like an AI ad to Beyonce's freedom, and then immediately got a cease and desist letter. Like, just Beyonce was like, nope, stop that. Stop that right now.
Beyonce said, I'm a billionaire.
And the campaign official was like, no, we're going to keep using it. And then, like, 12 hours later, less than a day later, I'm pretty sure it was deleted off the internet.
Okay, so, because, dude, don't play with Beyonce.
Right.
That is nuts.
Like the caucasity.
The caucasity of Trumpanese.
That's good. I like that. That's a good one.
Come on, get it together. But I think some more caucasity was with that, with the Olympics with Jordan Childs, right? And the Romanian people. We do consider Romanians white,
people.
Right?
Well, they're
Romania
European.
Is white, right? Because that's in Europe, right? That means you white. Okay, yeah, well, so I'm right.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, so... Because I thought that was some caucasity, too. So I just wanted to make sure my analysis was in alignment.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in this situation, this whole bronze thing, Jordan Childs has decided that she is not giving her bronze medal back. They had contested, I guess, she contested her score. The U.S. contested the score on like 1/10 a point for difficulties, and she got it, which bumped her from 5th to 3rd place and then bumped Romanian gymnast, I don't know that person's name, down to 4th place. And then they contested, the U.S. contesting, and then the Olympics gave them the bronze medal, but didn't really investigate Romania's contestant, or is it called contestant, or is it called contesting? Whatever it's called, they then decided to give the bronze to the Romanian person, and then to come to find out, they had proof and video that the U.S. contesting was inside the window of time, which is, I guess, a minute or 60 seconds.
Yeah.
But the Olympics was like, we're not reviewing it. We're just going to give it to Romanian. And so Jordan Childs said, you know what? Screw you.
Good luck.
I'm keeping my bronze medal. So now they're going to create another bronze medal and give it to the Romanian and then remove Jordan Childs from being the bronze winner. But at the end of the day,
she still has it.
It was a black job, and she came and she conquered that black job. And everybody on that podium that day was all black. So let's just give homage to all these black women doing black jobs, and also a soft reminder to vote for Dana Pelabon. Okay.
Anyway. And you can donate at danafordane.com.
For county exec of Dane County.
Even if you don't live in Dane County, you can still donate.
Yes, please donate. Support our girl. Okay, what other black jobs we want to talk about?
Damn.
Oh, you know, I know we were to finish our conversation about maleness, because, you know, we got to bring in this yep. conversation about black men and black women all the time, because we just happen to be black. And one of the most political, institutions, I think, for people known as black is our relationships, or are our mm-hmm. relationships, because they're so complicated in the yeah. context of white supremacy. So one of the things I want to discuss is, I was on Facebook the other day and someone had made a statement like, men are so sassy nowadays. And it was a black woman, and the black man jumped on and he was like, why y'all? It's not that black men are sassy. It's about who you pick. It's like, basically, you're picking the wrong men. Now, I jumped in and I was like, well, I don't know if it's us picking the wrong men, because the pickings are the pickings. And women are like 20 to 1. So if the one dude that's on his stuff has higher emotional intelligence, have done some healing work and trauma recovery, which is required for all relationships, but particularly imperative for black people due to the context of our existence.
And the trauma.
And the trauma. So anyway, I was like, I don't know. Like, so either way, you know, you got one man to 20 women. So the 19 women that's left looking for a good man, there's not much pickings, right? And I said, those men, generally speaking, because they haven't done the healing or the work, are often sassy. And he was like, oh, you're calling all men sassy? So it became this conversation. Then I just exit, because I said what I said and I'm out. But hold on.
So sassy meaning?
My definition of sassy, I don't know theirs, but my definition of sassy is men, who people who identify as male, mm-hmm. who are often emoting.
So emotional. So yeah, not like, sassy like...
Oh, like... Oh.
Like attitude.
No, but okay, I think emotional is kind of attitude-y. You know, when I think about women and being sassy, I think about attitude and emotions.
Right.
And like showing your emotions.
Okay.
And not in a way that's like, I'm going to show you my emotions because we're talking about our feelings and I want to be expressive and make sure I'm in communication. But more so, I can't hear what you're saying because I'm responding from a place of emotions.
Got it.
Does that make sense? To me, that's what sassy means. It means like, if I go to my partner and I'm like, hey, I'm having a really bad day, this and this, and I'm emotional, because as a woman, I can be very emotional, especially when it's that time of the month that we call menstruating, you know?
Yeah.
I can be very emotional and unstable a little bit because of my hormones. And during that time, my expectation is for my partner to be able to hold space for that, mm-hmm. you know? But if I come to my partner and then that person gets emotional with me, well, I'm too having a bad day and I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't hold space for you and I don't want to hear that, to me, that's sassy. Okay. What you think?
No, I agree. I guess when I initially heard sassy, I'm mm-hmm. thinking of like attitude. Like,
oh, okay.
Not emotionally like...
But see, that could be too.
I guess my definition of emotional is different too.
What's your definition?
Because I think of emotional like sad or in an argument, like I'm too emotional because I can't control whatever, so I'm breaking down emotional.
Yeah.
Versus sassy, like, girl, why are you... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too literal.
I think we're all right.
So maybe it's all of
those. Yeah, I think it's all of that. And I think that because we have these social constraints between genders, like male and female, depending on how you're supposed to fit a certain kind of role. Now, do I always agree with the roles? No. And do I think there should be roles? Yes. So I'm like a hypocrite sometimes because I believe in womanism. And I also believe, what do you call when you believe in male roles? Is there a word from that? Because do I believe in patriarchy?
You don't just believe in male roles. You believe in roles, period. Because you also believe that females should fit a certain role then, right?
I do. I feel like there's a, and not based on gender, but based on energy. You know,
because
people
explain that. Because I feel like, so my perception of you, though, is that you, tell me if I'm wrong, you think women should do certain things and men should do certain things.
Yes,
that is
true.
But what I hear you saying is it's based on energy, not gender.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. So it gets confusing a little bit. You're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show, with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and
April Kigaya.
So yes, you're on point. So what I'm thinking is like, so say for existence, me and you are in a relationship and we are non-binary. So we're not identifying as a gender. Maybe we're just like, we're who we are, right? Call me they. But I am more feminine than you. You're more masculine. Mm-hmm. Just say you're the masculine energy, I'm the feminine energy. So my definition of feminine energy is the energy that kind of moves along in space, creating, nurturing, and holding. Right. Kind of like water, non-resistant. And the male energy, regardless of how you identify, is the structure.
Like dominant.
Like not even dominant, it's just the structure. So if you're, so in my opinion, you're the male, so you provide the structure. So when we're talking about how we work together, when I come home emotional, you provide the structure for me to emote. Does that make sense? Like for me to express, to sit, to listen, and to provide like some reason or just to shut up, right? Like to just hold that space for me, right? Because if I wanted to date someone, like I wouldn't want to date someone who's as emotional as me.
But don't you do both in your relationship? Yes. Don't you also hold space?
Yes, but not while I mean, so
Not at the same time.
At the same time,
right? But you take turns. Like you know, there are times when your partner needs to emote, and you sit there and you hold space, and then vice versa.
Right,
right. So it's not just a specific role for that person.
Yes,
it's momentarily.
Momentarily, but and.
I'm confused.
So in my opinion, right? So yes, and. So it's kind of like if, like, I don't know, like.
But it's fluid though, right?
It's
like
fluid.
It doesn't have to be all the time.
No, but there is a person in the relationship that's dominantly feminine.
Sure. So for the most part, you may carry the feminine characteristics.
Yes.
And then for the most part, your partner may carry the masculine.
Right.
But it can shift.
It can shift.
Because you also noted that you can be the more masculine,
absolutely,
presenting, whatever, right?
So it goes,
right. You are. So it goes back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I still believe that there's general roles.
Okay, so let's talk about general roles. So when you talk, so let's take away the emotional talking. Uh-huh. What about household roles? Do you think it goes into that as well, or is that something completely different?
Yes, I think it's shared, right?
Because your partner cooks, right?
Yes, my partner
cooks.
Do you
cook?
I prep.
Okay.
I help him prep. I season. I might cut something. I might make a salad. I might make a side. But he's like the meat guy.
And then you clean, right?
Yep, and he cleans.
So you both clean?
Yes.
So then that's blown out the
water. I wash the clothes. He folds them and put them up.
See, so that completely destroys.
Why?
The roles. Because there's no role. Like, because like traditionally,
right,
the male would, I don't know what the male would do, but the female would cook and clean.
Right, but I'm not fixing anything.
What do you mean fixing?
I'm not fixing anything. I'm not changing no tires. I'm not doing lawn work. I'm not pulling weeds. All those things, my mind belongs to my man.
And
I'm not doing it.
But he's also cooking and cleaning.
Right.
And that traditionally would not be something that a male would do.
That's true. Because he will clean that toilet.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you see how it's like not necessarily in those defined roles.
But I still feel like men are sassy.
Okay. Yeah. We went off of that topic.
I feel like they're super sassy sometimes. Like, I feel like they're so emotional. I feel like. I'm okay. Maybe it's just this sense of, I feel like women are doing more catering to men and being more masculine with men than they are. So they're not able to be soft. We're not able to be soft.
You know why?
Why?
Because we have never been afforded that.
Right.
We've had to carry so much, especially, I'm talking about Black women in particular.
Yeah.
We've had to carry so much. We have never been afforded the space to truly let go.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, I don't have to be this strong person.
Right. Yeah, you're
you know
right.
What I mean?
So let's just say, you guys who are listening to the Black Conversion Show right now, that we're discussing masculinity and femininity and trying to define it. And what's come to be very apparent, there is no definition. And I don't even have a definition of myself, but I do have strong opinions. And I think my strong opinion is really based on my need and not the general need of all women. So it's just my opinion saying this is what I need and what I like. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things with Black relationships is that with me and my partner, what we have to practice is like dealing with our own crap. Like, you know, the thing about relationships is it brings all your demons out. And I think, like, for me, like, I sometimes when I need masculine energy for him coming to me is like, I need him to sometimes say, you on some BS with this. You know what I mean? But not in a aggressive, dominating way, because that hurts my feelings. Like, I'm really sensitive.
Yeah.
So, but saying in a way that holds space and like, look, you had the situation at work. You need to get over that situation, but you need to look at this and that and remember your power. You're allowing people to do A, B, and C. And to me, that's masculine energy, because you're giving reason and logic and you're not getting emotional with me. And the emotional part would be if he was like, oh yeah, you need to go in there and slap them, the ego piece versus the logic piece that brings me back from up there being emotional and provides more grounding for
me. Yeah, you want him to bring you down to center.
Yes, to center. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I think I'm trying to communicate. It's like some men don't know how to do that, that they're escalating it and we're up here emotional in the sky together.
I see.
Does that make sense?
And you're labeling that as sassy.
Yes.
Okay, to me that doesn't.
It don't match.
No.
Okay.
But I mean, that's your definition. Like, just because I don't agree with it doesn't mean, you know.
Yeah.
I just think of it as something completely different.
Okay. Yeah. See, but how semantics are important in defining what you're saying, because we could be speaking around and through each other and we ain't even defining the word
the same. Right. We're talking about two different words.
Okay. So, Facebookers. I'm sorry, because maybe your definition was different than mine, and I'm jumping on giving my opinion, and it don't even fit. So anyway,
that's why it's important to talk through things.
It
y'all.
Is all the time, because oh my God, when we come back, I gotta tell y'all another story. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson, April Kageya on 92.7 FM, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the politics of funding in Madison, because I've discovered some haterism, and I can't even swallow it. Okay, we'll be back. Stay tuned.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah. Okay, a little funkiness in that. Ooh, ooh. Hey, little bass. Okay, not a guitar. Okay, you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host,
April Kageya.
All right, we back. We're going to wrap up this conversation around sassy. And we were just looking on Facebook, and someone commented in the comment section that men don't like to be called sassy because it is associated with being gay. And me and April was like, oh!
At the same time, like, oh, that makes sense.
We slow.
We get it.
My definition wasn't even thinking about that. I was in a whole new era.
Completely
I don't know.
Different.
Okay, so I could get how that could be, but then if it's offensive, that kind of makes you homophobic, though, doesn't it? Because why would you be offended by... Anyway, let's not get
that's
in that. Let's not go
maybe
that
that's
deep.
That's the next
okay.
week's
yeah,
show.
Yeah, okay, let's not go that deep. Okay. Wait, what was we going to talk about next?
Funding in Madison.
Oh, yeah, so you know, everything is political. Oh, before I get into that, I want to give a shout-out to Julian Waters. He had his... what was that?
The Black
Juju's
Party.
Black Party and basketball tournament last weekend at Penn Park. And that was really, really nice. And I was there. I was out there a couple hours. I went in the early afternoon and then came back in the evening. So shout out to you. And he had like 100 darn sponsors.
Really?
Yes, he had so many sponsors. And he was saying like, he was like, I just be out here hustling. Because he was like, I don't get big sponsors like you. I'm like, I don't even get sponsors. So people don't even sponsor us. So I think people have this illusion that Urban Triage is overly supported and overly sponsored when actually we're under-supported and under-sponsored. And people think we have more than we do, so they don't. They think like,
we're not going to give you money.
Yeah, so we don't give... It's a weird thing, y'all. It's really weird. But anyway, shout out to Juju for that. And also, I think it's weird how... And this isn't about Julian, but I just wanted to bring it up. But how it's weird how when Black men accomplish anything, everybody praises them. And when Black women accomplish things in Madison or in Dane County, you hear it one time and don't hear it again. I think it's patriarchy. I think like we really appreciate Black men and their attainments. And it's almost like, oh my God, you did something. Mm-hmm. Let's congratulate you everywhere all the time, a million times. And for Black women who accomplish a lot, and including myself, so let me just put myself in there. Yeah. We've accomplished some historical things and people are often like, oh, that's nice. And they move on, right? Like, and we've done some things and I have to really, and this is part of the conversation with my partner when I go home, like I don't need him to get emotional with me. Like I'm gonna go beat everybody up. I need him to be like, girl, don't worry about everybody. Stay focused and remember who you are and don't worry about how other people are edified.
Yeah.
And I share that out of vulnerability because I think people think like people who are doing the work, you don't feel nothing or something.
Well, I mean, Malcolm X said it best. He said the most disrespected person in the world is a Black woman.
You're right. You're right.
And it's true. And it's sad, but I feel like number one, the expectations are high.
Exceptional.
If we don't do it, we'll hear about it.
Yep.
But like you said, the moment we do it, it's like, okay, well.
No, that's great. All right.
Yep, great.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then we're expected to carry everything. We're expected to do X, Y, and Z. Yep. The moment we don't, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. It's just this ideology that we live in this different space. It's just this unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, yeah.
Paired with the Black man that for some reason, and I was at this Rotary Club DEI thing. Mm-hmm. There were two Black men there that I'm not going to name.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only Black woman in the space. Everybody else was white. And the two Black men were saying how Black men are more, face more in the community than Black women.
But there's not a comparison, though.
What? Like, that's right. I was like, number one, it's not apples to apples, number one. Number two, there's so much privilege as that you as a man has that a Black woman doesn't even have.
Like, and the privilege to make mistakes and being forgiven and then edify for that given. You know how many Black men leaders we have in our community who are pedophiles, who are on the list for staying away from children and how we edify them and then we say we should forgive them. And these people have committed rape, they have harmed children, and we forgive them, and then we give them money, and then we put them in the community, and then we send them community centers. It doesn't make sense to me because there should be boundaries. And I'm just gonna leave that there because we've also had people commit some
yeah.
So, and then if a Black woman does anything, like say one time I said something like, oh, when I was talking about that dude Tyson who threatened me in the in the staircase, and I said, and he's feminine and I'm not gonna fight you, like you're still a man. And then people were like, oh, you're so homophobic, like you can't even say anything without being critiqued, you know what I mean? Right. Like everything I do is shadowed, you know, observed. And so anyway, so on to that, I'm gonna leave that alone. But anyway, back to, you're listening to 92.7 FM the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson. And remember our Harvest Fest, September 7th at our farm. Check out our Facebook, Urban Triage. That's T-R-I-A-G-E. You can also look us up on, you know, the web. Go to our website. All that information is there. But I did talk about funding a little bit. I'm just going to leave it alone because I still want to. I sent out a couple emails to a couple big people who were like funding us and supported us. And then we worked with this group of young folks who then got mad because we started raising money to fill gaps in our budget. So like when you get a contract with someone, they don't always give you all the money in the grant for the program. So then you have to solicit funds from different organizations or corporations. And we did that. And then they went to the corporations and said that we were out of integrity because we shouldn't be raising funds for this contract, but we didn't have any administration funds left, meaning that we didn't have no money to cover
to pay the staff.
Not the staff, but the accounting, the overhead, the utilities, the office space, the supplies, because grants only cover certain line items.
Right.
And this funding from HUD didn't cover anything else. So we had to go find the money. So when they went and said that to these white institutions, the institutions are now saying they're not going to fund us anymore because we did something that was out of integrity. Oh. So, but mind you, they never asked me a question.
So they just heard from this third party.
Right. They never inquired and never asked a question. And now this has happened twice. So I just want to say this to all of our listeners and people. you have to be careful about how you talk about Black organizations. It has a compounding effect on us, like not white organizations. If you say something about United Way, someone's going to pick up the phone and call United Way and investigate. Like, we heard this. They're not going to call the Black organization. They're just going to assume it's true, because that is the foundation and definition of anti-Blackness. Anti-Blackness looks like Black people being wrong, even if we're not wrong. Mm-hmm. You just hear something and you go with it. And that's what's been happening a lot for Urban Triage. So I just want to encourage y'all to stop doing that, because when you're Black, you're already hated on because of the power dynamics and just because of racism. But I just found this out because we have this program that we're doing with MMSD, and they reached out to this particular org, I won't say their name, and they shaded them around us. But we had a great relationship. So now I got to try to figure out what occurred. But you know, it's from gossip. So you're listening to the Black Conversion Show. I want to remind y'all that being Black is already hard, right? And being a Black woman compounds it. Being queer compounds it. Being poor compounds it. Not having education compounds it. Being differently disabled compounds it. Being trans, that's the intersection. So show people grace and kindness, y'all. Mm-hmm. And remember that Black jobs are all jobs. Okay, all right. We'll see you next week on 92.7 FM WMDX on the Black Conversion Show.
Bye, y'all.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.